Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is December 17th, 2025. The markets were down today, with the Dow closing at 47,885, the NASDAQ at 22,693, and the S&P at 6,721. Our topic tonight is year-end financial planning takeaways. We are live. We will take your questions. Cindy and Bob are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. And you can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable speaking on air, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Again, the topic this evening, year-end financial planning takeaways. And I want to piggyback off last week's show, which was some year-end tax planning, because I didn't get to talk about charitable giving in full. And I do want to start with a year-end financial planning takeaway around charitable giving. And let me preface it by saying that for WDIY, this is our year-end donation drive as well. It is the time of the season. Quite often people wait until the end of the year to do their charitable giving. We certainly hope that if you haven't already considered us, that you consider us. And even if you have, in light of all of the recent budget changes, please consider increasing your support, becoming a member if you haven't already, and think about ways that you could help WDIY, a 501c3. Donations could be made through the website, wdiy.org, by clicking donate, or through the WDIY app, or by calling the same number for questions. And don't worry, if you just have a question, you can call with just a question. But you could also call to make a pledge at 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So many different ways to give. And, often I will have conversations with clients about their philanthropic giving. Some people just don't do it, and you may have to give your time, your talent, your treasure, or you may just be too busy of a person and may not be inclined to do charitable giving at all, or don't have the capacity or the means to do so. Well, if you're a listener, one thing that you could do to help without having to, contribute is at least tell your friends and family and colleagues about the benefits of WDIY and listening to WDIY, and they may be able to help support financially. So I say there's another T in that time, talent, and treasure, and that is telling. Tell people about the benefits of listening, whether it's the myriad of music opportunities, the news, or public affairs programs such as this one as well. So I want to talk about one of the financial planning takeaways for the year in charitable giving. Charitable giving can be done any time of the year. There are a number of ways to be charitably inclined outside of just the time, talent, which includes the treasure. So the treasure, we're talking typically about financially supporting maybe one of your favorite organizations, and there's a number of ways to do that. Often people think cash. You know, you're not necessarily sending cash. When I say cash, it's probably a check or a credit card payment, something like that. So there's charitable giving that way. In 2025, if you don't itemize deductions, you may not get a benefit from that cash donation because there's no above-the-line deduction for that. Starting in 2026, you can deduct $2,000 married, filing, and joint $2,000 against your page one income without having to itemize. So in 2026, you do want to start keeping track of that. But there are still other ways to save income tax through your charitable giving beyond just, you know, even if you don't itemize. So if you are inclined to do larger donations, another way to save taxes is if you have highly appreciated securities. Maybe they are so appreciated you don't want to sell them because you don't want to take the tax hit for it, and you have an overconcentration now. So one way to trim your overconcentration without a tax consequence could be making a donation of appreciated securities to your favorite 501c3. You typically would contact them, tell them you want to make a donation of appreciated securities, and you have to exchange certain routing information to make that donation, and you transfer from one custodian to the other. They take care of it all. You just tell them how many shares, and the transfer goes through. Even if you don't itemize, what did you save there? You saved federal income tax and state income tax on the transfer, on that gain. If you're donating appreciated securities of 1 year or older, okay, it has to be long-term capital gains. You're not having to pay the tax on the long-term. You didn't sell it, put the cash in the bank, and then make the donation. You actually transferred appreciated securities. So even if you don't itemize, you're saving the income tax on that. Let's pretend that was, you know, $1,000 or $5,000. I've had clients do, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it all depends on your circumstances, your situation, and how charitably inclined you need to be or want to be in that particular year. So we're starting with cash, then potentially appreciated securities, and cash has like the least favorable tax consequences. Appreciated securities next is pretty good. And then the other option that we talk with people about is maybe you don't have enough to itemize, but you're almost have enough to itemize. When they raised the standard deduction got quite high and fewer people were itemizing. So what we do now is we bunch their charitable giving into 1 year. And what we do with that is we might say, okay, you're only 65 years old. Your required minimum distribution age is until 73. You can do something called a qualified charitable distribution at 70 and a half. Maybe you would like to fund a donor-advised fund today with maybe 5 years worth of giving. So if you're someone who gives away $10,000 a year to charity, that would be $50,000. We review your portfolio. If you have long-term securities, highly appreciated, you can pick lots, specific lots with the lowest cost basis. And we could donate 5 years worth of value, perhaps. So to a donor-advised fund, you get the deduction all in 1 year. You don't get it subsequently for grants out of that fund because the charitable contribution was that donor-advised fund. And then you can, after that, grant out of the donor-advised fund over X number of years. Maybe you don't even do it the next year. Maybe you don't do it for 2 years. Maybe you do it in year three, four, and five, whatever it might be. But you bunch it so you get a larger deduction all at once and you get over the standard deduction. And in that way, the next year, you still take advantage of that high standard deduction in full. So, you know, for example, if your itemizing would have been $25,000, your standard deduction would have been, I'm making these numbers up, $35,000. You know, you have to have another $10,000 of charitable giving to get to the standard deduction amount. But if I did $50,000, then I'm over the standard deduction by $40,000, you see? And so you're maximizing the deduction that year. And then the next year, you're doing your charitable giving out of the donor advised fund. You're not having to do it out of your bank account, and that frees up that cash flow subsequent to that. So you've avoided the income tax on the sale of the appreciated securities, and you got a tax deduction. There's more to come about charitable giving, and if you're interested in helping with our year-end donation drive, you can do so through wdiy.org, press donate, or the WDIY app, or by calling 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. Tonight, we are talking about year-end financial planning takeaways, and coincidentally, it coordinates with my charitable giving takeaway for the year, along with our year-end donation drive for WDIY. We sincerely appreciate our listeners' support. You may not be a member of WDIY, but that should not preclude you from calling in, maybe making a one-time donation. You can do so through the WDIY app or WDIY.org, or by calling 610-758-8810, where you can also call and ask questions of tonight. That's totally fine. And you can talk live on air with me or give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. I want to give a little bit more information around the charitable giving. There can be a lot of planning around the charitable giving, and it really is one of my favorite things to do with clients, for clients who are philanthropic, because there are so many different ways we can do some charitable giving and really maximize that, maybe maximize tax benefits or even maximize the benefit for the charity. But there are some limitations around it. So recall that I talked about appreciated securities. There is a limit on that deduction, and that limit is 30% of your page one income. And I say page one income, I'm going to call it adjusted gross income. So if your adjusted gross income is $100,000, 30% of that is $30,000. So in my example of $50,000 of securities, I wouldn't be able to get the full deduction. If I don't get the full deduction, it carries forward to the next year. But what I prefer to do is put more income on the return to get the full deduction in the year of donation, if we can get it to work out. There are some reasons why I wouldn't want to do that. So, you know, I'm not letting out, you know, each person's situation is different, but so it takes planning. And there might be reasons why I don't want to put more income on the return, but let's say I can and the circumstances allow it. How could I put more income on the tax return? I may take more gains on securities, put more income on the return by taking more gains. Maybe those gains might be taxed at a lower rate, or the tax savings on the deduction is going to bring my tax bracket down and get favorable capital gains tax rates, 0%, 12%, 15%, whatever it might be. So I'd have to play with the income a little bit. There is a 30% limitation on the donation of appreciated securities. And ordinarily, there's a 60% limitation on cash. So sometimes we do a combination of appreciated securities and cash because there's an overall total limitation of 50% of the adjusted gross income. So in my story of 100,000, 50% would be 50. So if I do 30 of stock, that's 30%, that's 30,000, and then I could do some cash as well to get us to a full deduction that I might want to put into a donor advised fund of 50,000. Okay, so we have to play with the numbers a little bit sometimes, but if you understand how those limitations work, we can work through those different scenarios for you. The other thing I want to mention is in 2025, there still is time to do some of that planning if you've never heard of it. The time's getting tight, but it still can be done, particularly with the Donor Advice Fund. Now, some of our nonprofits in the area may have people, staff, you know, on vacations. But the donor advised funds are typically set up through your custodian, meaning any of the big financial service firms, all the names you probably know. So those accounts can be set up. And if you have your brokerage account at the same institution, usually it's very easy for them to move appreciated securities over to the donor advised fund because it's on the same platform. So some of that still can be done. Don't wait till the last week. That would be cutting it too close. And it's usually, you know, best efforts with some of these custodians this time of year because they get very busy. But it still can be done if you were interested. So at least you could fund the donor advised fund. And then once the donor advised fund receives those securities, they have to sell them. Once the cash is raised, then it's available for you to grant out of the donor advised fund. You can have online access, go in and make grants to your favorite charities. So that's a good way to do it. 2025, there's no other, you know, haircut on that. When we get to 2026, I don't know why they put this in the legislation. There is a bit of a haircut on the charitable giving. It's reduced by, I think, 0.5% of your adjusted gross income. So it's a little bit of a haircut on the charitable giving. So there's no haircut this year, so it's kind of leaning me toward doing, you know, more of the giving in 2025 for clients and even myself. Now, I told you about, could there be, you know, ways to maximize your giving? You could work for an employer who might do matching. That's another fantastic way to amplify your giving to your favorite nonprofit if your employer does matching. My husband works, you know, we're airing out of Pennsylvania. My husband is a retiree from Air Products, and they have a matching program for retirees. And it's wonderful. So we have to do it through the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, which is also wonderful, one of my favorite organizations. So we do our donations through the United Way, make a donation to the United Way, and then Air Products matches that up to a certain amount. And the match is 75% to that same nonprofit you chose, and then 25% of it stays with the United Way. Some of our giving is to the United Way, so the United Way gets the full match, which is really wonderful. But we also can designate certain nonprofits that we like to support, and they get the 75% match directly. For example, St. Jude's Research Hospital. So some of our donation goes there. They get 75% match, and the United Way keeps at least 25%. So that's really nice. We get to benefit our local United Way, which supports a lot of the nonprofits in our area, you know, for education, you know, wellness, seniors, you know, just all of those kinds of support services that our less fortunate people in our community may need from time to time. So that's another way to kind of amp up your giving. So we're talking about a bunch of ideas, and even though I'm talking about them at year end, these are things that can be implemented all year long, which is why the show was called, even though it's called Year-End Financial Planning Takeaways, it's the takeaways at the year end that I want to talk about of things you can do all year long. I think people just tend to think about it more at year end. I think people tend to do more of their giving at year end. This is what I hear from clients. But if you can anticipate it, you know, sooner, you can plan better for it as well. The other big way to donate, in which, you know, also is wonderful, is using your IRAs. And for people who are 70 and a half or older, there's something called a qualified charitable distribution. I talk about it all the time. If you're someone who's 70 and a half or will be 70 and a half and you have large IRAs and you're charitably inclined, you can use your IRA to make these contributions to charity, work with your advisor or your custodian, and they can write the checks directly to the charity, or there's a chance you could actually get a check writing on your IRA. Lots of cautions around that, but you could make charitable contributions directly out of your IRA to those 501c3 profit organizations, nonprofits, and not have to report that same income on your tax return. That lowers your taxable income, and it lowers your page one income, which could actually open up other benefits to you. I'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also use that for year-end donation drives or by going on the WDIY app or WDIY.org, click donate, and we would love to see some people supporting us tonight, particularly through your financial choices. We really appreciate it. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Introducing Home for the Holidays. Tis the season to shop small and share big. A special 8-episode podcast. Each week, we'll spotlight local makers and retail stores that make our region shine and show how shopping small keeps local dollars close to home. Tune in. Get inspired and join the hashtag BuyLocal movement. Listen at WDIY.org, watch on our YouTube channel, or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about year-end financial planning takeaways. And, you know, just listening to Margaret do that message, I got to tell you, the staff here at WDIY, we can't say enough good things about them. James is here, staying very late, helping out. And we have Seamus in the other room. We've had Allison here earlier, Neil, who's practically lived here for the past, 30 years. You know, it's a small organization with lots of volunteers running this place, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful sign of support when our listeners contribute as well. And it's not a hard ask this evening. It's a plea. It is the year-end donation drive. It is that time of year. Please consider WDIY as you consider some of your other philanthropic giving. You know, the markets have done absolutely amazing this year. If you've benefited from that, it doesn't hurt to scrape off a little bit and you know, contribute to those organizations that give back to you as well. And WDIY certainly has been a long partner in the community for a very long time. You can do that through the WDIY app or through the WDIY.org website or by calling 610-758-8810. And I also contribute to WDIY. I'm a firm believer in the programs and the station. I love doing what I do. I love the audience. I think you're the most sophisticated listening audience. And I just love that I get to do some of this education because I'm a frustrated wannabe teacher. And so I'm very grateful they're here and I want them to stay here so that we can continue to do this for a long time. So please consider making a year-end donation to WDIY. Let me finish up the charitable giving year-end financial planning takeaway. And I was mentioning a qualified charitable distribution out of an IRA that only applies for people who are 70 and a half or older. The RMD age is currently 73. For anyone who was born in 1960 or later, it's 75. So even though the RMD age is either 73 or 75, you can start using your IRA for qualified charitable giving at 70 and a half. And that, you know, so at 70 and a half, you don't have a required amount that you have to take out. But let's pretend you're retired and you are getting maybe a monthly withdrawal from your IRA, even though you don't have a required amount. You take a monthly withdrawal out and you put it in the bank account. And then you write a check every week to the church or you do your year-end giving, you know, out of your checkbook. Well, if you're 70 and a half, you could do it out of your IRA because if you're taking distributions anyway, put it in your bank account and put it in on your charge card or writing a check for it, you could do the same thing out of your IRA. And if you do just maybe like three big donations, then you can ask your custodian to set that up with a standing letter of authorization to maybe do it every year. Some people do a lot of small gifts. I have clients who write, you know, probably, I don't know, 100 to 200 checks, believe it or not. And so we set up check writing on their checkbook for them with strict instructions that we have to make sure we have cash available for that check writing. And they cannot use that checkbook anywhere else. But that is really convenient. And I do have a number of clients who love to do that. Similarly, you can do that out of the donor advised funds, by the way, too. So if you're pre age 70 and a half, as I mentioned, doing either a cash or appreciated securities to a donor advised fund, typically the donor advised funds allow granting of $50, a minimum, or you can do $50, which are pretty small amounts. That's pretty nice to be able to grant at that level. And some people like to do that, $50 to, 100 organizations. Or I have clients who do, 15,000 to one. So it all just depends on what your philanthropic desires are. But we, there's probably ways to do anything you want. And if you need more information on that, you can certainly call and ask questions at 610-758-8810. And you can also always send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. I do try to always get back to people, and I don't pressure you or nag you either. I think that's why sometimes people don't email me. They're afraid I'm going to, take their name and chase them down, which I don't at all. This is an education show. We're on an education radio station. Let's talk about some of the other financial planning takeaways. So we talked about the charitable giving options, lots of them, and some may be better for certain people than others. Now let's talk about what other kind of financial planning takeaways might we have. Well, I'm going to point this out to people on the investment side. There's something called tax loss harvesting. Many of you may already know what that means. And it seems a little bit counterintuitive, right, for anyone who invests, because what's the mantra? The mantra is we buy low and sell high. So why would I be selling something at a loss? Well, when we talk about having diversification in a portfolio, the portfolio is diversified, you invest in a lot of different kinds of things, and over cycles in the markets, some of your positions go down and maybe 6 months later they go up, and then, the opposite happens with the other positions. So it's like a symphony. Everything's kind of moving up and down and up and down, but over time we hope it's smooth returns going up because of the diversification. You don't have everything all in one position when it all tanks, or everything all in one position and it, takes off. Diversification smooths out the volatility. So there are times when certain assets within your portfolio, and when I'm saying your portfolio, I'm not talking about retirement accounts, because tax loss harvesting does not happen in retirement accounts. In IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks, there are no tax consequences to any transactions you're doing within those retirement accounts. I mean, there might be an exception here too if you're doing other kinds of securities, but like not allowed, or what, I forgot what it's called, certain rules around IRAs. That's more complicated than what I'm going to talk about right now. But for the most part, retirement accounts don't have tax consequences until you take a distribution. So I'm talking about non-retirement accounts, your non-qualified investments, where you might have certain securities that are subject to these fluctuations. And when something goes down, it may be at a loss. And when we talk about tax loss harvesting, you still might like that position, but it's at a loss right now. You could sell it, take the loss. You cannot buy back that same security for 31 days. There's something called the wash sale rules. The IRS says if you buy that back like the next day, they're not going to deem that as a real sale. You didn't really want to do it. You have to wait 31 days. But you could always buy something similar to it. So you sell it and you take the loss. The reason you want to sometimes do the tax loss harvesting is there may be times where there are no losses to take. And maybe there's something you have to sell at a big gain, and now you're going to have big tax consequences. So you can harvest losses and hold them. The IRS lets you use losses against other gains. But if you're losses exceed those gains, they let you use $3,000 against ordinary income. That's a plus. And to the extent you don't use them, they carry forward to future years. So right now, we can't find losses for the most part in portfolios. The markets have been very well. They may not continue to do so well. We don't know. But tax loss harvesting sometimes gives you a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of planning opportunities in the event you have to sell something highly appreciated and you need an offset. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. And we certainly welcome you, invite you to please help support us in our year-end donation drive through WDIY.org or the WDIY app. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. We are talking about year-end financial planning takeaways. I do want to remind our listeners that Bob and Cindy are in the studio, and if you have questions, you can certainly call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to them. I once had a client say, they said something about listening to the radio show, and they said, yeah, you say the phone number a lot. Well, I say the phone number a lot in case people have questions, because guess what? That is my favorite part of the show. My favorite part is answering questions. I know it's shopping season, so many of you may be out shopping. But if you have questions, phone number 610-758-8810. And I hope you're not running up credit card balances. That's what I'll say about shopping. Plan for experiences, not things. So tax loss harvesting, I talked about. Zero tax rates. I've mentioned this. I think I might have mentioned it last week when we talk about tax planning. 0% tax rates. If you are in the 12% tax bracket or lower and you have qualified dividends or long-term capital gains, they get taxed at zero. So here's something to pay attention to. Are you ready? Do you have a pencil and paper? If you look at your tax planning, and your AGI is less, if you're married filing joint, I'll give this as an example. If you're married filing joint and your income's less than about $96,000, if you have capital gains that you could take because you've been waiting, you didn't want tax consequence, you know, maybe you were working and now you're retired and you didn't even think about this. If there's wiggle room in that 12% tax bracket, you could actually take some gains, raise some cash, and not pay any tax on it. I just looked at this today for a client. And the reason there was more wiggle room than what we had at the beginning of the year, because I look at planning kind of all year long, there was a little bit more wiggle room because of the enhanced senior deduction that we have this year for people who are 65 and older. And in this case, married filing joint, both were 65. They were entitled to the $6,000 each as long as the income is under $150,000. There's a phase out above that. So they were getting this $12,000 deduction. So we had a little bit more wiggle room. And guess what? We have to review the portfolio every year to look to see if we need to raise cash for cash needs. Retirees, they start taking money out of their, you know, their savings, their retirement accounts, wherever it might be. So we had this $12,000 wiggle room. Well, the $12,000 wiggle room is a capital gain. We could do capital gains, long-term capital gains, at zero tax. Okay, stay with me for a second. So I had $12,000 more capital gains I could take. If we review the portfolio, we can get more out of the portfolio than, for example, if let's pretend I needed $60,000. Taking $60,000 out of an IRA puts $60,000 of ordinary income on the tax return, pushes some of my capital gains that were getting zero rate to now getting 15% rate. If I see that they have a strong non-retirement account portfolio with big gains that I haven't been wanting to take perhaps, this could be my chance to reduce overexposure or to reduce some of these big positions they may have that have maybe low cost basis. In this circumstances, we looked and we could raise $45,000 of cash proceeds with $14,000. It was $14,000 of wiggle room now in the 12% tax bracket. So we could raise $45,000 of proceeds with $14,000 long-term capital gain at zero tax. Zero tax. This is planning. These are tax planning, financial planning takeaways. Why is it financial planning takeaways? When I last week talked about tax planning, I'm not talking about tax planning this week, supposedly. I'm talking about financial planning takeaways. Well, what did I say? I said we had over-concentration in a position with high capital gains that maybe we didn't want to take because of tax cost in the past. That's investments. I said we need to plan for cash flow. These are retirees. They need to plan for cash flow as typical. That's a cash flow issue. And it just so happens that the tax planning has also allowed us to do this. Now, there could be some element of gifting as well. Part of the cash flow planning is gifting as well. We could be gifting money to the heirs or to 529 accounts for grandchildren. So now what you might have thought was tax planning is financial planning. Financial planning, which is covering the elements of your financial life, cash flow, investments, taxes, retirement planning, because we didn't have to pull from the retirement account. We pulled from regular investments. And estate planning. Risk management, because maybe we had an over-concentration in a position, and now we've reduced the risk of that over-concentration. This is financial planning. This is how it works. We have to think about what happens in one area of our financial life, how it impacts the other areas, and this is so much fun. So this is one of the financial planning takeaways, is kind of trying to understand how everything works together and taking advantage when we can. I've told clients twice this week, maybe even three times this week, when I'm working with clients, I say, if you have money, if you need money, we just get you money. But what we try to do it in the most tax efficient way if we can. Can't always do it, but when we can, that's part of the financial planning, making sure it's all working together. So that 0% tax rate, when you're in a 12% tax bracket, applies to the long-term capital gains, as I just mentioned. It also applies to qualified dividends. I'm going to tell you something else it may or may not apply to. Social Security. So a lot of people thought Social Security wasn't going to be taxable anymore under the current administration. Well, they couldn't get that through. That's why they passed this enhanced senior deduction, but there's limitations on that, and many people don't qualify for it because their income is too high or it's phased out. But there could be a chance that you qualify for it. That's that extra $12,000 deduction. That's nice. But Social Security gets included in taxable income based on how much income's on your return. So for many, many people, Social Security already was not taxable. Now, most of my clients, some of it's taxable, but there are people across the country where none of their Social Security may be taxable because that might be all they have in their retirement years. They might only have Social Security, or they might have Social Security in a small pension, which might not trigger any of their Social Security to be taxable, because Social Security gets included in taxable income based on how much other income's on your tax return. So from a financial planning takeaway, maybe there are times where you don't need extra money on your tax return and times where you may. So I've had a number of clients over the years where we have been doing Roth conversions to, IRA conversions to Roth, putting extra income on the tax return to take advantage of tax rates, et cetera. But now we have this extra $12,000 deduction that we may get. So now maybe we don't want to put extra money on the tax return, because if we put extra money on the tax return, it boosts the taxable Social Security up and then boosts up the income, which may phase out our enhanced senior deduction. So again, it's like a little symphony. You know, you just kind of go with, you know, how the numbers could flow, and you do your best to do some planning around that. But we know at least 15% of the Social Security at a minimum is not taxed. That's at zero, in essence, because only up to 85% is included in taxable income. So when I say sometimes we can get a zero rate on Social Security, what I mean by that is if we have lower income on your tax return, and perhaps your Social Security is not getting included at 85%. Maybe it's only getting included at 50%. Maybe it's only getting included at 10%. It all depends. It's why I never trust myself with these numbers. You have to put it into the tax planning software and let it do its magic and kind of reveal itself as to the tax implications on the inclusion of the Social Security. But I always say I can't beat a zero rate. All right. I think we've talked about Roth conversions enough. That is a financial planning takeaway. If someone has I will talk about it for a minute. If someone has extenuating circumstances, you want to be in front of these, anticipate them, because sometimes you don't know these things till the end of the year. And I hate missing out on planning opportunities. So if you are someone who's in business, or you sold a business, or you sold something at a loss, and maybe you sold a rental property, and now you have this big passive loss that gets freed up, because passive losses on rental, if you have rental income every year, and you have losses because of depreciation and mortgage interest and real estate tax, you have a loss every year. If your income is too high, the losses get suspended. That's a passive loss, okay? It gets suspended. It depends on your income. If you then sell the property in the year of sale, all those passive losses get freed up. I hate wasting passive losses on no income or low income. So let's pretend your income's kind of low and you're in the 12% tax bracket and we have these passive losses and it wipes it out. Oh, yay, wonderful. It just wiped out 12% tax rate. I'd rather have it wipe out some higher tax rate. So you want to make sure that you're getting the advantage of something like a passive loss to offset other kinds of higher taxable income. So sometimes a Roth conversion, throwing extra money on the tax return, can offset that. So that's kind of a financial planning takeaway also related to taxes. But the Roth conversion is, you know, retirement planning, investment planning. Because around investment planning, if we talk about that for a minute, we want you during the year to make sure you're looking at your asset allocation. Look at the geography of your assets. How do you have your Roth invested? If your Roth is in cash, I'm a little upset with you. It means you haven't been listening to the radio show. Because Roths grow tax-free and cash does not grow. So typically, I mean, if you invest it in a money market, you might be getting, you know, 3% or something like that. But ordinarily, a Roth is something you're going to hold for a very long time. Most of my clients don't even touch their Roth IRAs. They do it as part of their estate planning. So here is another financial planning takeaway. People, you know, particularly if they have children, like to benefit those children with assets that may be income tax free. Still could be subject to inheritance tax if you live in a state with inheritance tax, but an estate planning technique and or an income tax planning strategy, I'm going to call it a financial planning strategy, for the survivor if you're married. So sometimes it's nice that a survivor has the option to have a tax-free asset as well, because quite often they jump into a higher tax bracket, and this could mitigate some of that exposure that they may have. 2026, the 401k contribution rules are changing for catch-up contributions. So I'm going to talk about that when we come back from this last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also make donations to our year-end donation drive through that number, but probably even better, wdiy.org, click donate, or the WDIY app, and we certainly welcome your support. We will be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. It is our year-end donation drive. The phone number is 610-758-8810 for questions for me, for Your Financial Choices, or for donating, as well as on the web at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. We sincerely appreciate your support all year long, but would love if you did something tonight. So I'm talking about year-end financial planning takeaways, and I mentioned before the break about the 401k contribution rules changing. So first, I'm going to tell you for 2026, the employee normal contribution that you can make a contribution to your 401k, 403b through your employer, if your employer has an employer plan, is $24,500. Today I had a colleague say, why doesn't everybody max out their plan? Why doesn't everybody max out their plan? I said, well, if someone only makes $40,000, it's pretty impossible to max out your plan. So I am going to tell you, at least try to get a match. So if your employer does matching, at least try to get the match. But the most you can do is $24,500 unless you're over a certain age. So, and this is where you have to like buckle your seatbelts to try to pay attention, because this gets a slightly complicated. So $24,500 normal contribution for 2026. If you're over age 50 and you do the catch-up contribution, there is a change for 2026. And that is for higher compensated employees. Employees who are higher compensated employees under federal tax law are required to have the catch-up portion of their contributions made as Roth contributions. That starts in 2026. You are considered a higher compensated employee for 2026 if your 2025 W-2 wages for Social Security FICA calculation exceeded $150,000. So you have to go look at your pay stub or your W-2 to see if your Social Security wages were over $150,000. And why they say that is because I might have had federal wages of $155,000, but put $20,000 in a 401k, so my federal wages looked like $135,000. And I think, oh, good, I'm under the amount. But no, it's your Social Security wages. And in that case, that was $155,000, you'd be subject to this. So the catch-up contributions for people 50 and over, if you in 2025 were making $150,000 of Social Security wages or higher, have to go into a Roth portion of the 401k. Not all employers have a Roth. So I think a lot of the employers are probably adopting that if they haven't. More and more do have it now, but if some didn't, they have to adopt it, I don't think you can do it. So it can go into the Roth. You just don't get the deduction for it from your wages. So in essence, you're going to be paying tax on the catch-up contribution. It's not going to be a deferral for you anymore. All right. And so your taxes might go up a tiny bit because you're paying tax. So let's pretend you do a catch-up contribution. Let's say you do $5,000. Well, before that you only might have seen that in your paycheck, like $4,000, because you got a tax deduction for it. And now you're not. So you're going to be paying tax $5,000 plus less the tax. Okay. So here's the other part that you have to have your seatbelts on for. So now I told you you're over 50. If your income is over that certain range, it's going to go into the Roth. But regardless, here are the amounts that you can do as a catch-up contribution. If you're age 50 to 59 or age 64 or older, so this is where it gets weird, 50 to 59 or 64 or older, your catch-up contribution is $8,000. For people who are age 60, 61, 62, or 63, your catch-up contribution is $11,250. So a few things we actually have to pay attention to for 2026. So financial planning takeaway for year-end 2025 is to know what's going to apply to you for 2026. Now, for anybody who's turning 50, you know, if you have, if you're, you know, making a decent amount of money and you don't need it, you have plenty of emergency reserves, you don't have any credit card debt, you're in really good financial shape, and you want to consider upping your contribution to your 401k, number one, you can just do your regular contribution, which is the 23.5. But if you have even more money available, you can do the catch-up contribution, but it may be subject to going into the Roth. All right. But this is a way for people to get more money into Roth as well. You're just not going to get the tax deferral today, but that will grow income tax free for your future. So then when you retire, you would obviously not roll the whole 401k over into an IRA rollover, because now you would have Roth money. So when you leave your employer, if you want to roll over your 401k, you may want to leave it there. But if you wanted to roll your 401k to a self-directed IRA, you would split it to rollover IRA and to Roth rollover IRA. Okay, so the Roth portion would grow income tax-free and could roll over to a Roth. All right, so just watch out for those changes in the limits and be aware for people who are age 60 to 63 that you actually can do more than the people who are 50 to 59 and 64. Again, I don't know, like why do they do this? The more they try to simplify tax law, the more complicated it gets. And, you know, I just said to a colleague tonight when we were talking, I said, you know, the most important questions that clients have are the questions they don't know to ask, because it's just too much to keep up with sometimes. But, you know, because this is what we do, we have to pay attention. But it's why we have to refer to, you know, resources all the time, because the numbers are changing quite often as well. So 2026, other financial planning takeaways. Be very aware of life events that could affect your planning throughout the year. Life events, you have a new child. If you're working and your employer provides for flexible spending, dependent care cost, and you're both working, or maybe one of you might be, you know, in college or looking for work or disabled, there are certain other exceptions to having to work. You may be able to put money away into a flexible spending account for dependent care, and that is a tax deferral for your wages. And some people think, oh, I didn't do it during open enrollment. I didn't think of it. Well, this is a life event, and this is one of those times where it's an exception to the restriction of only doing some of these things during open enrollment. You even may be able to change your insurance because there's a life event. If all of a sudden now, you know, maybe you were single and now you're married, or you were single or married and now you have a baby and the plan needs to change. So there's life events you want to be aware of. Other life events, you may lose a loved one. You may, you know, all of a sudden you get called home and you have to take care of mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or, you know, a best friend. And all of a sudden things change and maybe you're the beneficiary of their estate. That's a life event that could have a lot of implications. There's a lot of planning that can go around estate planning. Lots of different implications. I had recently a client, unbeknownst to us, had inherited and cashed out $120,000 IRA that he got from someone. Now, Typically, you can do that over 10 years. I'm not sure what happened in the case. It's a peripheral. It's not really my client. It's another colleague's client. But if we're in front of these decisions, we can do some planning around them. So when a life event happens, you should be talking to your financial advisor or to your lawyer or to your accountant about thinking through your options of this change and what it might mean to you. I had another client who inherited from a parent, and she had a question about one of the things she was inheriting. And I said, yes, do this on this one, but don't do that on this other one. So, you know, we can strategize when we're in front of those decisions. So life events can prompt financial planning opportunities, and that is the takeaway, to watch out for life events. I only have a few minutes left here, so I want to make sure I mention one of the big financial planning takeaways that I had a number more to talk about, but one in particular, estate planning, people. Financial planning takeaway. This is, to me, the biggest financial planning flaw for most people. It's a lack of an estate plan. So the Christmas gift to put under the tree, or Hanukkah gift, whatever it might be, a promise that you're going to do your estate planning. If you haven't done it, do it. Let's say you've got a few months between the holidays. So we have a holiday in December and we have a holiday maybe in March or April or whenever it might be. Let's see if we can get that estate planning done. Don't be afraid of it. If you don't do it, as they say, the state decides. I have a circumstance where someone has not done their wills and they don't have any contingent beneficiaries. So you can kind of put a Band-Aid on some of this planning. If you haven't gotten to the attorney, if you don't have a will, you could at least put beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts. But not just beneficiaries. I mean primary beneficiaries and contingent beneficiaries, that secondary beneficiary. If in my circumstance it was a couple and they've named each other, which is wonderful, but if something happens to both of them, there's no beneficiary and they have no will. And the intestate rules say you don't have children, it's going to go to your parents, for example. Well, if the parents are 85 years old and now they've inherited, and I'm making this up, now they've inherited your, you know, $3 million. Now they die. That could cause more inheritance tax. So we'd have inheritance tax when the assets pass from child to parent, and we'd have inheritance tax when the parents die and it passes to the other sibling. You see? So you want to be in front of these decisions. So do your estate planning. At least review your beneficiary designations. Make sure you have primary and contingent. That's on retirement accounts. That's on life insurance. That's on annuities. And you can even put beneficiary designations on brokerage accounts or bank accounts using transfer on death. I recommend you work with your attorney to review all that and make sure it all makes sense. But it's at least doing something if you don't have a will. But I strongly recommend working with an attorney for your will as well. So make that maybe some of your presents to your family. If you don't have a gift idea, you can say, that's our gift to you, children. We're going to do our estate planning. Keep in mind all of these different takeaways that we've talked about tonight. Another question I get quite often, people ask about, oh, can I pay off my mortgage? Can I pay off my mortgage? Well, if your mortgage is costing you, $1,500 bucks a month, and you have to take $200,000 out of your portfolio to pay off your mortgage that's costing you 3.5%, it's only going to save you $1,500 a month in your cash flow. I would say I'm not sure I would do that. I might keep my $200,000, keep it invested. Could be making more than what I'm paying for my mortgage. And, all of a sudden you pay off your mortgage, you take $200,000 out of your account, you have $200,000 less dollars, you lose your job, and now you don't have $200,000 to grab if you need it. You did save $1,500 a month, though, in your payments, but you see what I'm saying? So that's kind of another takeaway to watch out for some of the planning you think you might be doing. show went very fast tonight. You still can make a year-end donation through the website, wdiy.org, or the WDIY app. The next 2 weeks will be pre-recorded shows. I want to thank our listeners so, so much for being here with us. And it's a privilege and honor to be able to share this financial education with you every week. I certainly hope you continue to support the station, especially in the upcoming year, any way you can. Time, talent, treasure, and talking and telling. Thanks, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, all the staff at WDIY. Thank you, James, for being here as well. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week and happy holidays.